This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures 2021. I'm Father Alexis, and we are reading through the Scriptures each day of the year using the Orthodox Study Bible. Today is day 70 of our readings, and it's March 11. So today we will be reading from Exodus chapter 21, Psalm 62, Proverbs chapter 12, verses 26 through 31, and Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 27. In the book of Exodus, after we have heard for the first time the Ten Commandments, we will now hear the various laws that Moses receives and gives to the people. This is what becomes known as the Mosaic Law. And then we get to our psalm readings, today being Psalm 62. This is the third of the six psalms that we say during the morning matins, or Orthros service. And today's Proverbs passage is read during Wednesday Vespers in the fourth week of Great Lent. Now to the readings. Let's begin. Exodus chapter 21. Now these are the ordinances you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his lord gave him a wife, and she bore him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her lord's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my lord, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his lord shall bring him to the judgment seat of God, and also to the door, or to the doorpost, and his lord shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. If a man sells his daughter to be a domestic, she shall not go out as the maidservants do. If she does not please her lord who betrothed her to himself, he shall let her go free. But he has no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. If he betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the right of daughters. But if he takes another wife, he shall not deprive her of necessities, clothing, and marriage rites. If he will not do these three things for her, she shall go out free, without paying money. He who so strikes a man that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not willfully lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hands, I will appoint for you a place where the slayer may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Whoever kidnaps one of the children of Israel and overcomes and sells them, and he is found with him, let him surely die. If two men revile one another, and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but is confined to his bed, if the man rises again and walks about outside with his staff, then he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for his loss of time and for his healing. If a man beats his male or female servant with a rod, and he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, the Lord shall not be punished, for he is his property. If two men fight and hurt a woman with child, and her child is born imperfectly formed, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judge determine. But if the child is perfectly formed, he shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let them go free for their eye's sake. If he knocks out the tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let them go free for their tooth's sake. If a bull gores a man or a woman to death, then the bull shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the bull shall be acquitted. But if the bull tended to gore in times past, and it was made known to its owner, but he did not keep it confined, and it killed a man or a woman, the bull shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. But if a sum of money is imposed on him, then he shall pay the amount imposed so as to redeem his life. If a bull gores a son or daughter, it shall be done to him according to this ordinance. If a bull gores a male or female servant, he shall pay their lord 30 shekels of silver, and the bull shall be stoned. If a man opens a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. If any man's bull gores his neighbor's bull, and it dies, they shall sell the live bull and divide the money, and the dead bull they shall also divide. But if the bull was known to gore in times past, and its owner did not keep it confined, he shall surely pay bull for bull, and the dead animal shall be his own. Now if a man steals an ox or a sheep, and slaughters or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox, and 4 sheep for a sheep. Psalm 62. O God, my God, I rise early to be with you. My soul thirsts for you. How often my flesh thirsts for you, in a desolate, impassable, and waterless land. So in the holy place I appear before you, to see your power and your glory, because your mercy is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you in my life. I will lift up my hands in your name. May my soul be filled as if with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall sing praise to you with lips filled with rejoicing. If I remembered you on my bed, I meditated on you at daybreak, for you are my helper, and in the shelter of your wings I will greatly rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, your right hand takes hold of me. But they seek for my soul in vain. They shall go into the lowest parts of the earth. They shall be given over to the edge of the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall be glad in God. All who swear by him shall be praised, for the mouth that speaks unrighteous things is stopped. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 26 through 31. The hand of the chosen shall prevail easily, but the deceitful shall be for captivity. A fearful word troubles the heart of a righteous man, but a good message makes him glad. A righteous arbiter shall be his own friend, but the decisions of the ungodly are unreasonable. Evil things shall pursue sinners, and the way of the ungodly will lead them astray. A deceitful man will not gain his prey, but a pure man is a precious possession. In the ways of righteousness there is life, but the way of remembering wrongs are unto death. Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 27. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine vat, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now at vintage time he sent a servant to the vine dressers, that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them last, saying, They will respect my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him, and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers, and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So they brought it, and he said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Then some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him, and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies, and leaves his wife behind, and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to them, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Yesterday we discussed briefly the importance of forgiveness. I'd like to continue with that thought with the last verse from our Proverbs reading today. In the ways of righteousness there is life, but the ways of remembering wrongs are unto death. One of the ways that we don't forgive is known as the remembrance of wrongs. The hieromartyr Anastasios II, Patriarch of Antioch, had this to say in a sermon. But remembrance of wrongs is an unceasing and festering passion, for whether he stands up, lies down, prays, or travels, one who is gripped by this passion retains the poison of it in his heart unceasingly and unremittingly, with the result that, being thus enslaved, he neither enjoys the grace of God nor obtains the forgiveness of his sins. Where rancor puts down its roots, nothing is of any avail. Neither fasting, nor prayer, nor tears, nor confession, nor supplication, nor virginity, nor almsgiving, nor any other good deed. Rancor towards one's brother destroys everything. One of the ways we avoid the remembrance of wrongs is to reframe the event. For instance, what Joseph's brothers did to him, selling him into slavery in Egypt, that was wrong. But Joseph realized that it ended up as a blessing for him and his people. After being reunited with his brothers, who feared revenge, Joseph told them, "Do not be afraid, for I belong to God. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your households." This was from the last chapter of Genesis. Do you see how Joseph chose to see his past as a blessing? Do you see how he reframed the event of what his brothers did to him as something that God used for a blessing for others? When the thought of a past evil, especially an evil done to us, comes knocking at the door, we can actually choose to turn our gaze to Christ instead of opening that door. And this turning to Christ frees us from the bondage of the evils done in the past, a bondage that keeps us from participating in the fullness and joy of life, as we are instead gripped by the pain of a festering wound. Isaac the Syrian said, "A time of trial is beneficial to everyone. The diligent are tried so that their wealth may increase, the lax so that they may be preserved from harm, those spiritually asleep so that they may prepare themselves for watchfulness, those who are far from God so that they approach Him, those who are God's close associates so that they may come closer to Him in freedom of speech." St. Paisio said something similar when someone asked him why calamities happen. He said, "There are all kinds of reasons. Sometimes God will allow something to happen so that something better may come out of it. And other times, He wants to educate us. Some people are being rewarded and others pay a debt. Nothing is wasted. You know, whatever God allows, even when human beings perish, it is done out of love for man, because God has a heart." So as we are about to enter the great path of the fast, our journey to Pascha, as we approach Forgiveness Sunday, think about this idea of reframing the events in our lives as a way to avoid remembering wrongs. We read in Proverbs, "The ways of remembering wrongs are unto death." Turn to Christ instead, who gives life. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.